You may be seated. I want to thank you all for coming today. Obviously, Bob Shackleton's life touched a great number of people. I've been kind of dreading this day because we knew it was going to come. And yet at the same time, we don't sorrow as those who have no hope because we are assured of Bob's great entrance into the presence of Christ. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior and served God in many capacities for many years. Was a faithful servant of his, and so we know that he is at home today in heaven. He's at home in the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you a story. There's a rich landowner named Carl, and Carl loved to ride around his vast estate on his favorite horse to celebrate his great wealth. And one day as he rode, he came upon Hans, a poor tenant farmer who worked some of his land. Hans had been kneeling at a tree, and after greeting Carl, he said, "I was just thanking God for my food." And Carl replied, "Well, if that's all I had to eat, I wouldn't feel like giving thanks for it. By the way, it is strange that you should come by today because I had a dream last night," the peasant farmer said. He said, "And in my dream, a voice told me, the richest man in the valley will die tonight. I don't know what it means, but I thought I ought to tell you." Carl couldn't get Hans's words out of his head. The richest man in the valley will die tonight. After all, he was obviously the richest man in the valley. So he invited his doctor to examine him. His doctor said, "Carl, you are as strong and healthy as your favorite horse. There is no way you are going to die tonight." Nevertheless, the doctor decided that he would stay with Carl all night. And he did, and as they were passing the time, they were playing cards. I mean, this shows you how rich Carl was, because how many of us could afford a doctor to make a house call and sit with us all night? Well, the next morning, the doctor left with Carl apologizing for becoming upset over the old man's silly dream. But at about 9 o'clock, a messenger arrived at Carl's door. "What is it?" Carl demanded. The messenger replied, "It's about old Hans, your tenant farmer. He died last night in his sleep." And I realize the ending of that story is somewhat predictable, but it illustrates a point. And although Bob had horses and did okay in life financially, that was not the reason for his wealth. The reason that Bob was so rich is because he had family, he had friends, he had a Lord that he served. And as I thought about this story, I thought about the richest man on Knapp Hill who died last Saturday. He truly was a rich man, and he benefited all of our lives. He made all of us rich. He was rich because of his faith. He was rich because of his family, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, 27 great-grandchildren. But Robert Lee Shackleton, age 85, of Knapp, Wisconsin, went to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on May 19th, 2012, at 5:45 p.m. He was at home surrounded by his wife and daughters. He was born in Barron, Wisconsin, on January 31st, 1927, to Milo Perry and Genevieve Bliven Shackleton. Robert married Clarice Pinker in Vancouver, Washington, on June 12, 1948, where they lived for 3 years. Bob and Clarice moved back to the Midwest, living in the Twin Cities for a short time, where they made many lifelong friends before settling in the Knapp area. Bob owned and operated Knapp Auto Salvage and a construction company, which later became the lumberyard, Shackleton Building and Supply. Bob's knowledge of horses was known far and wide. He received daily calls from horse owners for advice. Because of his lifelong love of horses, he was always willing and able to give help and advice. In his earlier years, Bob was involved with the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. He has also been an
active member of the Gideon's International for 37 years, holding an office for many of those years. Bob has been a board member and worship leader at Calvary Assembly of God in Wilson, where he was a member for many years. Bob wanted everyone to know how much he appreciated the love and care given to him by the love of his life, Claris. Robert is survived by and will be missed by his wife, Claris, his six daughters, Joan and Carl Skip Anderson of Wilson, Nancy and Bob James of Knapp, Roberta and Ken Windsor of Knapp, Deborah and Mike Platt of Knapp, Sharon and Dwayne Cormican of Knapp, and Barbara and Gary Cormican of Downing, his 12 grandchildren and 28 great-grandchildren. He is also survived by three sisters and five brothers, Viola and Earl Cork, Jane and George Wolfe, Dora and Charles Bud Coral, Raymond and Amelia Shackleton, Don Shackleton, Richard and Lois Shackleton, Reverend Stan Shackleton, and Dan and Wendy Shackleton, as well as many nieces, nephews, other relatives, and friends. He was preceded in death by his parents and one brother, David Perry Shackleton. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you are here today. Bob was one who honored you in his life and is now honoring you in his death. And we know, Lord, that you are here also to honor him. We pray for peace and comfort for his family today. We pray that you would help us as his friends to mourn with his family, but also to rejoice with them over Bob's homegoing and rejoice as we share memories together. We just pray for your presence here, and we commit this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 14, verses 8 and 9 says, "For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living." And so this service today is really for both. It's for those who are still living. It's for you. It's also to remember Bob, who has passed from death to life, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I have a song that's going to be played, Grandpa's Song, written and sung by Nikki Clark.
To show for all those years, many smiles, many tears, but it's not all things we see. There's so many memories that I'll hold on to, like these feet. You always tickled me sitting on your knee. Till Grandma saved me, she'd always save me. I remember riding in your Chevy, asking questions pretty steady about anything. I was sure you knew everything. Do you remember I was right around 5? I couldn't wait till you arrived to build me a swing in that big tree. The best grandpa you were to me. You bought me my first pony, and though my pasture now is lonely, there's a love inside my heart to still ride today. Now my little girl, 5 years old, saying her bedtime prayers, thanking God for for her family and the cousins that she rarely sees. Another little five-year-old cares. But as I listened through the dark, this part touched my heart when she asked God to heal her great-grandpa. He's getting old and weak, so can you please take away his old age and help him feel you through the bad days, make him young again. God, I know you can. And as I slowly left her door, I remembered even more how you always tickled me sitting on your knee till Grandma saved me. She'd always save me. And I remember riding in your Chevy, asking questions pretty steady about anything. I was sure you knew everything. Now you're 85 years old, and you have so much to show for all those years. Many smiles, many tears. It's not all things we see, and mostly memories that we'll hold on to. I remember riding in your Chevy, asking questions pretty steady about anything. I was sure you knew everything.
Let me share some scriptures with you just to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. You know, I was thinking, what was Bob's favorite theme? And it would have to be faith. It would have to have something to do with the Bible. I don't know how many times he quoted the verse that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I picked out some scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A heavenly city where Bob is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Not just a heavenly city, but a heavenly home inside of that city. And then Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. A heavenly city, a heavenly home within the city, and a heavenly rest within that home, with many works that Bob did following him. I have a song by another grandchild, grandson, Jeremy James, If You Could See Me Now.
Have all been answered. I finally arrived. The healing that has been delayed has now been realized. No one's in a hurry. There's no schedule to keep. We're all enjoying Jesus, just sitting at his feet. If you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you'd know I've seen his face. If you could see me now, trials have worked out for my good. To know it brought him glory when I misunderstood. Though we've had our sorrows, they can never compare. What Jesus has in store for us, no language can share. If you could see I'm walking streets of gold. If you could see me now, I'm standing tall and whole. If you could see me now, you know I've seen his face. If you could see could see me now. If you could only see me now. If you could see me now.
You can almost see him. Imagine anyway, he's in his glory with his Savior and Lord. Jeremy also would like to share a few words. He's going to come at this time.
First thing I would like to know is who decided to play that song before I had to speak? On behalf of Grandma Shackleton and her daughters, Joe and Nancy, Roberta, Deborah, Sharon, Barbara, son-in-laws, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, good morning, or hello. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we rejoice knowing that Grandpa's finally home. And thank you for grieving with us. But we will mourn and we will heal. We serve a great God. Grandpa served a great God. I'm not going to take much time. That isn't what Grandpa would want. On time. So we're going to do this on time. As I was writing this for the 50th time, I kept having different words go through my mind that would describe Grandpa. The first word was honorable. He was an honorable man. In the 1950s, he filed bankruptcy. But he's the only man I've ever known that paid back every debtor in full before indulging it all on himself or his family. Respect. Some of you liked him. You're here because he was a good guy. Some of you, like his family here, we loved him. But we all respected him. Like it or not, you'll understand later. Honesty. He was honest, brutally at times, but he was honest. I remember him telling Dylan Windsor, wherever Dylan's at, it must have been about 3 or 4 weeks before Grandpa passed. People were coming and saying goodbye, and Dylan was kissing him on the forehead, and Grandpa took him. He always liked to shake with his right hand and grab you by the elbow, and he told Dylan, he just said, honest. He said, be honest to a fault, didn't he? He didn't think I heard, but I did. He was devoted. He was a family man through and through. He cherished nothing on this earth more than his wife and daughters. I didn't think that was very funny. He was a spiritual mentor, not only to us and his family, but to many. I met a man last night that Grandpa had actually led to the Lord while in jail. And he touched so many lives. He was strong physically. He was a very strong man. I have a lot written down about that, but it's not really important. I guess what was really important to me when I was a kid is watching Grandma and standing in the kitchen. A lot of us grandkids did. We'd stand in the kitchen and we'd hear this awful crash and bang, these stupid horses and these horse trailers. I'm not a horse lover. But we would listen to that. And Grandpa, without one fiber of fear, he would open the side door, walk in, and the crash and bang got a little louder. And all of a sudden, the back door would open, and Grandpa would come leading out this horse. He had quite a way with animals. Most of you know that. He had a way of making them mind when they didn't want to. But he also had a knack of making them well, when even the best veterinarians would recommend that they be euthanized. Love. I don't need to say much about that. There's enough friends and family here that speaks for itself. His sense of humor. I was just going to do this. This is mostly for, I think, us grandkids. But oh! I spent most of my childhood watching these three guys jump out of their skin like they just did. He had an interesting sense of humor. We'd be driving somewhere and he'd do that. He'd holler and slap me on the leg and it hurt. And he'd laugh and I'd laugh because I thought I better. One thing I enjoyed most when I was a kid, Nikki sang about it a little bit ago, was, and we all did, all of us grandkids, we all experienced the very same things. On Sunday afternoons, Grandpa, you know, the whole family would get together, still do. And Grandpa would be sitting in the living room watching sports with his son-in-laws, which didn't interest him in the least. The sports, I mean. And but we would always, when we were little, we would always, as Nikki's saying, but we'd run, try and get past him. And he'd grab us, and pretty soon we'd be upside down, and he'd be tickling us, and we'd holler for Grandma. And Grandma would always come and save us. And then she'd wind up on Grandpa's lap. But we like seeing that. He was a wonderful example to so many. I remember one time we were traveling in Grandpa's motorhome, and that was time for bed, and Grandma, for some reason, they always slept in the motorhome, you know, they had a bunk up on top, above the cab. And for some reason, Grandma was trying to climb over the top, and Grandpa's laying on his back, and Grandma's laying on top, and it's kind of awkward, but they got stuck. She thought. About a month ago, Grandpa and I were talking about old times, and that came up. And he told me, and I quote, "She thought she was stuck. You know, I think she kind of liked that." Grandpa especially liked Ryan Bongard's Helen Keller jokes. If you'd like to hear some, look me up after the service. I'd be glad to share. In closing, I'd just like to say how proud we are of Grandpa's daughters. He was a blessed man. And I think I speak for all of your children and grandchildren. We're very, very proud. To the many friends Grandpa had, thank you. He loved every one of you, and he enjoyed your company. I think one of his favorite times was cookie time and coffee time. The door was always open and the coffee was always on. But that wasn't Grandpa, that was Grandma that did all that. But there was always cookies and coffee. Many, many, many days, all of us grandkids, we'd sit at the table and listen to Grandpa talk to his horse friends and church friends and Gideons, and good times. We will never forget them. To our church, we thank you for your friendship, your support, and most importantly, your prayers. The last word that came to mind was busy. Grandpa was always busy. He was always working. I hated that. I believe he's still busy. I think he's busy getting to know Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. I believe he's already spoke with Stephen. Maybe even asked him, "What did you see besides Jesus standing up before you were killed?" I think he's sat down with Timothy. But I do know he's sitting at Jesus' feet. And that's why when you're here and after this, you'll hear laughter. You won't just hear grieving. Because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt where Grandpa is. We thank for that. Grandma, there are no words to describe what you meant to him. And what you mean to us. We love you. You will, as the song says, meet him in the morning. So don't go away mad. Thank you.
Kenneth Windsor Sr. wrote a poem that's called "This Fallen Tree." Life and breath, grief and death, all intertwine like branch and vine. The tree grew tall, long shadows cast, the branches fall, its glory's past. Soon trunk will break and vines be torn, and our hearts will ache, and this burden is borne. Will our hearts mend? How can we cope? Is this the end? Is there no hope? Yes, there is hope. A price was paid. Our burden of sin on one was laid. Believe on him, the prophets say. He is the life, the truth, the way. Repent, confess, call on that name, the one by which we must be saved. So sorrow not for this fallen tree. His spirit soars
he's been set free. Amen. Tony Gabbin would also like to share.
Boy, this is a tough act to follow. Thank you for this honor. The music, the singing is kind of the underlying thing of what we've got here. I started this a couple years ago. Finished it today. Some of you folks here will recognize the other individual in this little story that I've got to relate to you. I think you'll appreciate it. Two old horsemen, Bob and Eugene, both running out of numbers on their tape measures of life. Bob having raised big Belgians for many years with an occasional eye for a mule. Eugene preferring bologna crosses, both breeds representative of each individual's stature. Bob, a bit evangelical, quite comfortable spiritually. Eugene, probably so. Both men on medicinal warfarin. Eugene towing an oxygen bottle for the past quite a few years. Neither man should have seen the previous Christmas, but now it's mid-February. The scene is a winter horse parade at Knapp. Lots of reminiscing and facts being exchanged. When Eugene speaks up, "Hey, Bob, are you still going to sing at my funeral?" Bob replies, "I'd be honored to, but you'd better hurry up." Last fall, on a bright, sunny day, Bob did sing for an old friend. Today, we sing for Bob. Thank you.
Thank you. Another song by Jeremy, "I Bowed My Knees and Cried Holy."
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried holy. The angels all met me there. You see, they carried me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights that I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for. And I bow on entered the gates of that city. You see, my loved ones, they all knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven, and those sights, they were too many to tell. And I met Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. I spoke with Mark, Paul, and Timothy. But I said,
Bob's brothers and sisters, his siblings, would like to share a song with you as well. Until then.
That song makes you feel like you've already gotten there, doesn't it? Won't have to wait until then, but we can sing glory today. We can praise him. We can love him. We can celebrate and rejoice in Robert's going home on the streets of glory. But until then, we're here. And our hearts can sing. But until then, my heart will go. kings of earth will dim and lose their value if they recall their borrowed for a while. But things of earth that cause the heart to tremble, remember them.
Stories about Bob myself, you know, and if we were to just open it up and let you tell stories, we'd be here for weeks, maybe even months. It's a tough funeral for me because Bob and I were close, worked together for 21 years. He was a board member most of that time, and he was like a father, grandfather to me, and so it's tough for that in that regard. It's easy because, on the other hand, because I know that he's in heaven today, and I know that he's rejoicing and he would want us to rejoice as well. And like I said, I have a lot of stories, but probably my favorite story with Bob and Clarice, and you really don't have many stories of Bob without Clarice. But a few years ago at the Omni Theater, they were having the video of Shackleton's Antarctic Adventures. And we took Bob and Clarice, and Debbie had told the person that was in charge of the video starting it that we have a celebrity here today. And she told them about Bob and that Bob was in a way related. And she got up afterwards or before, I don't remember which, and talked about the Shackletons being there, about Bob being a distant relative, and the people stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And afterwards, people came up and asked for his autograph. And I'll tell you, he was in his glory that day. I heard evangelists make a statement one time. He said, "Few old men finish well." And after checking my own heart and wanting to make sure that I was going to run the race of life and finish well, I thought of Bob. And I thought of Bob Shackleton as one who finished the race well. I mean, the evangelist talked about, you know, guys like Solomon and Noah and Samson who didn't finish well. But I thought if there's ever a guy who finished well, it was Bob Shackleton. And I want to be able to finish my life like he finished his. Do you know that he was a board member of this church up until the day that he died? He didn't want to give it up. He wanted to continue to serve the Lord. In fact, I was over to the house shortly after he had passed, and Clarice and the girls and some others were around there, and I think it was Berta and maybe Nancy and I were talking, and one of the girls said, you know, Bob did not know how to die. That's true. He did not know how to die. He worked all of his life, and he just hung on. He lived life. He loved life. Yeah, he was ready to go home. He was ready to go home to be with the Lord probably the last month or so. But even then, he didn't know how to give in. And I thought about the scripture, what is your life? James says your life is like a vapor. Literally, the word means breath. Your life is a breath. You inhale and you exhale, and then it's over. It's kind of like blowing in your glasses. And as quickly as the vapor goes off the glass, that's how quick our life goes compared to eternity. If we live to be 80, 85, like Bob did, the first 40 years of our life, we are inhaling, and the last 40 are exhaling. When a baby is born, the first thing they do, they inhale, they take a breath. Last thing people do in life is they exhale. And Bob had been laying there a day or so, and I understand Clarice was hoping that he would open his eyes one more time so she could see his eyes. And God answered that prayer, and he opened his eyes. He breathed his last breath, he exhaled. And in the next moment, he was in the presence of Jesus. In order to finish well, you have to have the right purpose, you have to follow the right pattern, and you have to have the right priorities. Real quickly, I just want to mention those this morning because this is what I believe Bob had in his life. And you know, we are to follow the example of those that go before us. Follow their example in following Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I think we can do that today. We can follow Bob as he followed Christ. And we can learn how we can finish our lives well. By having the right purpose, the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. And you know, that's what Bob wants. He wanted his life to magnify Christ while he was alive. He wants this service today to magnify Christ, even though he's not here with us in body today. His body is here, but that's not really him. That's just the earthly temple that he lived in while he was among us. I mean, the real Robert Shackleton is in heaven today, walking those streets of glory and meeting Jesus and the others that Jeremy sang about. Paul was not worried about what would happen to him personally. His only concern was finishing the work that God gave him to do. That was his concern. Did he? Well, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And so Bob has run the race. He's finished the course. There's a crown of righteousness that was available and given to him. You know, he was a special man. He was created by God for a special purpose. He had a special calling. And there was a reason why. One day, God looked down from heaven and said, I need a Robert Shackleton on earth. And he created Bob for a purpose. And I believe that Christ was magnified in his body in every place, even the jails that he went to visit. He would go Sunday night after Sunday night with the Gideon ministry and minister to those that were in jail. Paul Pillman was talking to me last night about when he was chaplain at the nursing home, and he met somebody from NAP. They wouldn't give Paul the time of day. And he said, Paul just happened to say, well, you live in NAP. Do you know Bob Shackleton? Yeah, I know Bob Shackleton. So Paul gets on the phone and he says, Bob, I just left a guy in hell. I need you to come and get him out. And Bob just left what he was doing and went to the nursing home to minister that man. And over time, he led him to Christ. Christ was magnified in his body in any place. And also at any price. And one of the outstanding things, Jeremy referred to it, was that even though he had filed bankruptcy, he paid every single one of his creditors back. What a man of integrity. He didn't have to do that, but the Christian life meant more to him than anything, and a good name meant more than anything. And so he would live the Christian life no matter what it would cost him. And as long as Bob was alive, God had a purpose for him. Claire's kept the coffee pot on, the cookies made, and he was as well visited the days leading up to his death as at any other time. See, he had so much to offer to just sit down and do nothing. He had learned from life. He studied God's word, and you know what? He had wisdom that we all need to have. And so I believe that Bob finished well because he had the right purpose in life. But he also followed the right pattern. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, he that saith, he abideth in me, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. In other words, we're to pattern our life after Jesus. Walk after him. He's our example. And Jesus showed us that serving God is really, other than accepting him as your Savior, serving him is the most important thing in life. And Jesus did that. And Bob did that. It's like they squeezed the juice, if you would, out of life. Filling the years with good things, with right things. Listen to these words about Jesus. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. I want you to hear that every time we mention the word finish. Finish his work. John chapter 5 and verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. John chapter 17 and verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John chapter 19 and verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And Jesus was Bob's example. He knew how to walk life. He knew how to finish well. In fact, I thought about some of the comparisons between the life of Jesus and the life of Bob. You know, one of the things that outstanding about Jesus is that he came not to be served, but to serve. The purpose of his life was to serve others and to give himself as a ransom for others. He didn't ask how he could serve others. He just served. He knew his purpose. And Bob was a deacon, and I wish I could tell you how many years he was a deacon here. I don't know. It was a long time, a lot of years. And do you know that the word deacon literally means one who waits upon tables? One who serves. And that's what Bob did. He served the Lord. He served this congregation. He served as a worship leader. for many years. He served as an example. He served by using his talents, by using his resources. He's largely responsible, along with some others, of building two churches. He built the parsonage, the home that we live in. He supplied lumber for many other churches at reduced rates. He did all of those things using his talents, using his resources for the glory of God. He served others. He and Clarice were two of the four that came out in their horse trailers and moved us from South Dakota 21 years ago. They gave us, we were here just from end of April, and we were going to be visiting relatives over Thanksgiving, and our van broke down. They let us use their van so that we could go visit relatives. I remember one day my van was overheating, and he came over, looked at it. About a week later or so, he was back with a new radiator and put it in for us. He was there to serve. And because he served, a lot of people knew him. He served in many different ways. He's an expert on many things, but so many people knew him. It was surprising to me. This true story, we were on vacation in South Dakota. We had stopped at a gas station out in the middle of nowhere. And a car pulls up behind me, and he looks at my license plates, and he says, "You're from Wisconsin." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You wouldn't happen to know Bob Shackleton, would you?" "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. He attends my church." I came home and I was telling that story, and Lowell Burton said, "I can top that one." We were in Mexico. And somebody had on a Packer something, sweatshirt or coat. And they said, "You're from Wisconsin?" Lowell says, "Yeah." He said, "You wouldn't know Bob Shackleton, would you?" In fact, did you know that the name Robert means famous? He touched a lot of people's lives. He touched a lot of people's lives. Jesus served. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. So did Bob. That was his passion. I haven't heard a better Gideon speaker. And he was used to fill pulpits and just would love to preach and share Jesus whenever he got the opportunity. And you know, Bob became more and more like Jesus, I think, as the years went on. He became much more tender, a lot sweeter. I'll never forget the times, and I'll miss the times. Not for the money's sake, I could care less about that, but he would get up for pastor appreciation days and special occasions and take the love offering for us. And it meant so much because I know that the words that he said were from his heart. One Wednesday night, it was our anniversary, and we just had a small gathering. Very impromptu, Bob Shackleton got up and sang a love song to my wife and I. He knew how to serve. He knew how to touch people's lives. In fact, I don't know if this church really would still be here if it wasn't for him and some other families carrying it through some difficult times. When we arrived, church was meeting in the Shackleton home on Wednesday nights where they were having Bible studies and showing videos. One of his grandsons, I was asked to share this, but I won't mention the name, but one of his grandsons wrote on Facebook, "Facebook friends, take the time today and hold somebody you love. Today I did something I never dreamed of doing. Like he did when I was a little boy, I got to hold my grandfather. Not only did I think I would never do so much as hug him again, but today God allowed me to have one last moment with my Grandpa Shackleton. Simply holding him, hugging him, watching him smile at me like I was doing some amazing feat for him. Then I realized I was. And as I was holding, I looked into his eyes. He looked into mine, and instead of a blank stare that we have been accustomed to, I knew he was seeing me. He was seeing that little boy that used to lay on his lap with him on Sunday afternoons and read the Draft Horse Journal. I asked him, "It's a good day?" He replied, "Yeah," with a smile, then proceeded to fold his arms around my neck, and we hugged and stood there for 5 minutes or so. All I could think about was how much more God wants to be held by his children. We are his feet, just like I was Grandpa Shackleton's feet today. Please hold him up. What a great feeling. Thank you, Jesus. What a special moment. More ways than one, Bob has held us up at times. But he finished well. He had the right purpose. He followed the right pattern. And lastly, he had the right priorities. Bob knew how to get a hold of God. God was his priority in life. He loved his family. He loved his friends. But God was his number one priority. He always honored the Lord's day. He made his schedule submit to the day of rest. It was a personal thing between him and God. I believe that that was one of the keys to why he finished strong. He understood that the workman wastes not his time who pauses to sharpen his axe. And he would sharpen his axe, and he would sharpen the countenance of his friends as he would meet together and fellowship with them every single Sunday. I remember when we came and we were struggling to get people to come on Wednesday nights, and Bob would come in sometimes and he'd say, "Us four and no more." But he was there. And I want you to know today that he had an incredible relationship with God, and he would like nothing more than for every single one of us to have that same relationship with God, the same personal relationship with Jesus Christ that he had. And if you are here today, I know that he is rooting for you. I believe that, as Hebrews says, there's a cloud of witnesses that watch us. And I believe that he's up there today and he's looking down and he's watching. And he's pulling for you to run the race and to finish strong. And if you're here today and you have not received Jesus as your Savior, he would like nothing more than for you to do that at this time. And in this place where we are remembering his life and what was most important to him. If you're here today and you're not following God like you know that you should, he would be encouraging you to do so. As only he could encourage you to do it, he would do it. But he's pulling for you today. Say, get right with God. Get right with Jesus and finish life strong. You know, he was a busy man, but he didn't let the urgent crowd out the important. The urgent yells for attention, the important rarely does. His family, his church, that was important. He had work to do, but if his family needed him, if his church family needed him, he was there. He took time. And you know, we all felt important to him. He would witness to some friend, even if he had a pressing task. The urgent could wait while he gathered children and young people around him. And he would bless them with a hug or a teasing remark. Because of Bob Shackleton, we didn't have a generation gap in our church. They were all drawn to him. Grandpa Shackleton. Grandma Shackleton, grandpa and grandma to so many. I'd like to close with one last illustration. Perhaps you've heard it. It's kind of touching, though. It's called 1,000 Marbles. The older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings. Perhaps it's the quiet solitude that comes with being the first to rise, or maybe it's the unbounded joy of not having to be at work. Either way, the first few hours of a Saturday morning are most enjoyable. A few weeks ago, I was shuffling toward the basement shack with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in the other. What began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life seems to hand you from time to time. Let me tell you about it. I turned the dial up into the phone portion of the band in my ham radio in order to listen to a Saturday morning swap net. Along the way, I came across an older sounding chap with a tremendous signal and a golden voice. You know the kind, he sounded like he should have been in the broadcasting business. He was telling whoever he was talking with something about 1,000 marbles. I was intrigued and stopped to listen to what he had to say. Well, Tom, it sure sounds like you're busy with your job. I'm sure they pay you well, but it's a shame you have to be away from home and your family so much. Hard to believe a young fellow should have to work 60 or 70 hours a week to make ends meet. Too bad you missed your daughter's dance recital. He continued, let me tell you something, Tom, something that has helped me keep a good perspective on my own priorities. And that's when he began to explain his theory of 1,000 marbles. You see, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. I know some live more and some live less, but on average, folks live about 75 years. Now then, I multiplied 75 times 52, and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in their entire lifetime. Now stick with me, Tom, I'm getting to the important part. It took me until I was 55 years old to think about all this in any detail, he went on. And by the time I had lived through over 2,800 Saturdays, I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 of them left to enjoy. So I went to a toy store and bought every single marble they had. I ended up having to visit 3 toy stores to round up 1,000 marbles. I took them home and put them inside a large clear plastic container right here in the shack next to my gear. Every Saturday since then, I have taken 1 marble out and thrown it away. I found that by watching the marbles diminish, I focused more on the really important things in life. There is nothing like watching your time here on this earth run out to help get your priorities straight. Now, let me tell you one last thing before I sign off with you and take my lovely wife out for breakfast. This morning, I took the very last marble out of the container. I figure if I make it until next Saturday, then I have been given a little extra time. And the one thing we can all use is a little more time. It was nice to meet you, Tom. I hope you spend more time with your family, and I hope to meet you again here on the band. You could have heard a pin drop on the band when this fellow signed off. I guess he gave us all a lot to think about. I had planned to work on the antenna that morning, and then I was going to meet up with a few hams to work on the next club newsletter. Instead, I went upstairs and woke my wife up with a kiss. Come on, honey. I'm taking you and the kids to breakfast. What brought this on? She asked with a smile. Ah, nothing special. It's just been a long time since we spent a Saturday together with the kids. Hey, can we stop at a toy store while we're out? I need to buy some marbles. Jeffrey Davis. None of us know how much time we have left. We need to make every moment count. I want to challenge you to look at the life of Bob Shackleton, and I want you to see a guy that finished strong. And I want you to pattern your life after his and say, I'm going to do what it takes to finish my life like Bob Shackleton. I'm going to finish life strong. And I'm going to finish with the right priorities. I'm going to finish with my faith where it needs to be. I'm going to finish not having any regrets that I spent time with my family. I'm going to finish strong. And again, if you're here today and you can't say that, do you know that you can just build an altar right where you are at? You can make things right with God. That's the place to start. If you've never invited him to be your Savior, why don't you do that right here today? Say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I need somebody to forgive me. I need cleansing. I want what Bob Shackleton had. And you know God will give you that. He will come into your heart. He will forgive you of your sin. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will give you purpose and meaning in life that you never thought possible. You will have a joy and a peace that no matter what happens, that will remain constant. And if you're here today and you're not right with God, get right with God today. Again, just build an altar there where you're at and say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I have done. And it doesn't really, can I tell you, it really doesn't matter how you start. It doesn't really matter where you are right now. The only thing that matters from this day forward is that you finish well. That's the important thing. How will you finish your life? Let's pray. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would work upon each heart and life here today Lord, that you would do the things that I can't do. But Lord, you would put a desire in all of us, no matter where we are at in our lives, this desire to finish well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Another song, another granddaughter, Hope Ingley, If You Only Knew.
By my grandfather's bed, my mother is reading Psalm 62. God is our refuge. My grandfather stirs. Could it be he is waking one final time? He has something to say. If you
final song. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for those that came here today. Thank you for this great opportunity to celebrate Bob's life and his homegoing. We ask your blessing again upon each one that has come. And may these memories of today be something that the family could cherish for years to come. Undergird them, uphold them as we leave this place today and as we fellowship together one last time. Lord, I thank you that someday we will see Bob again, and even though he can't come to us, we can go to him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Linda and Lonnie are going to be singing "We've Come Too Far to Look Back."
Far to look back again. Loved ones there behind me, and the treasures I used to love have all faded from view. The new days begun for me, all my heartaches are redemption bought me at Calvary. Now my new life begins.
I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley.
I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've known.
I am now on the home shore. Loved ones here are rejoicing. Heaven's family is singing. I've come too far to look back.
Around there's no happiness. There's no reason for leaving. Life will give you a broken dream, full of sorrow and fear. Turn around, don't look back again. Face the new day before you. Leave your heartaches in Jesus' hand. He can mend broken dreams.
I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've known. I am now on the home shore. Loved ones here are rejoicing. Heaven's family is singing. Far to look back.
So scripture says, a just man walks in his integrity. That's what Bob was. Bob, a just man. Thank you for being a just man who walked in your integrity. Children and grandchildren are blessed after you. And there are rewards that await you at the feet of Jesus. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you today and always. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'd just like to make you aware that you are all invited to stay and fellowship and spend some time with the family, sharing memories with them. Our multi-purpose room out these doors here, straight down the long hallway, is there. The burial service is at Forest Hills in Knapp. And if you want to go to that, you can. If you don't want to, and you want to just begin to start eating, that's fine too. So if you would just like to stay here and start eating, that is available to you as well. But God bless you, and thank you so much for coming.